Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose resurrection is the assurance of our resurrection, dear fellow redeemed, are you living for a hopeless end or for endless hope? The difference is staggering. Last Sunday, we mentioned that the sophisticated, logical Greek mind looked upon the resurrection of the dead body as foolishness. So when the Apostle Paul preached Christ crucified and risen again to the people in Athens, the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers mocked him and said, "What's this babbler wanting to say?" Most Greek philosophers like Plato believed in a dualistic nature. There's spirit and there's physical. All that is spiritual is good. All that is physical is evil. And therefore, to believe in a resurrected body to them was repulsive. They believed that when one died, they finally escaped that prison of their evil physical flesh and would go to God. In fact, one philosopher wrote, "When the day shall come which shall part this mixture of divine and human, spirit and body, I will leave my body, and myself I will give back to the gods." Other Greek philosophers were of the opinion of the pagan Aeschylus, who wrote, "When the dust has drunk the blood of man, and he's once dead, there is no uprising." What a hopeless end. And unfortunately, we also heard last Sunday that the believers in Corinth were influenced by these Greek philosophers, so that some of them began to doubt, or at least question, the resurrection of the dead body, but said they still believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Well, in our text, the Apostle Paul dissects these two different beliefs, and he tells the Corinthians and us the big difference it makes. And that's our theme this morning, the resurrection difference. Point one, without Jesus' resurrection, we all face a hopeless end. With Jesus' resurrection, we all have an endless hope. Paul writes in verse 12, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Denial of any kind of the resurrection then also denies that Christ rose. If flesh does not rise, then there has been no Easter. These members of Corinth said they believed in Jesus' resurrection, but they began to doubt and wonder about whether a dead body can really rise. Well, faith in the resurrection of Christ goes hand in hand with the faith of the resurrection of the dead. You cannot separate the two. And so in this verse, Paul is setting forth his thesis. He says, if Christ is risen, then we cannot deny the reality of the resurrection of the dead. And in the following verses, Paul now draws upon some logical things, Greek logic, conclusions that he shows that it's absurd and eternally damaging to not believe in a physical resurrection. We read again some of the verses. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins, and also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. There are about 5 points that Paul brings up in those verses there. First of all, Paul is appealing to the Greek logical mind, and he says the consequence of denying the resurrection of Christ then denies Christ's resurrection. Therefore, all we who teach this, all scripture doctrine, all the gospel is useless. It's empty. It's vain. Denying the doctrine of man's resurrection then denies the fundamental doctrine of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. When that doctrine is lost, then all is lost. For the Bible is one unending compartmental doctrine of God and all he's done for us. Not different doctrines here and there that don't tie together. Deny one, in the end deny all. Jesus says, Scripture cannot be broken. Following Paul's logical line of thinking then, he says that when he proclaimed that Christ did rise from the dead, he must have been lying. If in fact the dead don't rise. For if man does not rise, then Christ did not rise. And the Easter story is just one big fairy tale, an enormous fairy tale, that has deceived countless billions of people for the past 2,000 years. And then Paul's seeing of the risen Christ on his way to Damascus was only a hallucination or a dream. In fact, Paul's third point is, he goes on to state that if Christ didn't rise, then people who believed in Christ, their faith is too empty. It's also in vain. It means that all of us would still be condemned in our sins, because if Jesus, the Son of God, didn't rise to conquer sin, death, Satan, and hell, then we still all be under Satan's control. Paul wrote in Romans, Christ was raised for our justification. So if Christ was not raised, then we've not been justified. We've not been declared righteous. We're still in our sins, dead in our sins. We still be facing eternal damnation and a separation from God forever and ever. Paul's fourth point is, what about all those who died? Those who died believing in Christ, confident believing that Jesus rose from the dead, like Delilah, Lori Mazafka, Professor Gergel, Pastor Siddle, and many, many others. Well, Paul says, and they're lost too. Then they have a hopeless end. There is no resurrection then for all those who died believing in Christ. They're forever lost. Paul concludes these 5 points by saying the final implication then is for this present life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If believing in Christ only has hope for the present life, then we should be pitied above all people. Then what we've sacrificed, what we've done, and endured for the Lord, has no future. It's only good for the here and the now. Without the resurrection of Christ, Christianity is pointless. All those who've renounced themselves, denied their own lusts, given themselves to the Lord, won't have anything to look forward to in the future. Then all the unbelievers who indulge themselves in their sinful flesh, who look for the things of fame, fortune, and fun, are wiser and far off, in a practical speaking way, than we, believers, Then our words of faith when we proclaim in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, they're not true. They're all a lie. And what we just said before I stood up here in the Nicene Creed, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, is nonsense. We'd be looking and hoping for something that would never come to pass. What a hopeless end we would have. Christian life is not worth living if the hope and promise of the resurrection is not true. Remember, so there's 2 points to his thesis. With Christ's resurrection, we have an endless hope. The second point makes the big difference. We read verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. In effect, Paul is saying, away with all of this doubt. Away with all of this sadness. Away with all of this unbelief. Easter did happen. Christ did rise. The resurrection of the dead is an actual happening. The tomb was empty. So we can rest our faith upon. And we have an endless hope. Paul says Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of all those who died in the Lord. The first fruits were the first sheaves of grain, the bushel of corn or grapes or wheat that we bring to the Lord and thank the Lord and say, this is yours, Lord, because it's your harvest. It's your grain. You gave it to us. It's yours in thanksgiving. And it also meant that there was more to come. Those are just the first fruits. There'll be more grain, more wheat, more corn, more grapes to come for them to eat. What a perfect picture that is of Jesus. Jesus is the first fruits of all those who have died in the Lord. Because his tomb was empty, yours will be empty, and so will mine. Because he rose from the dead, so shall we rise from the dead. Because he rose and ascended into heavenly glory, so shall we rise and ascend into heavenly glory. Paul wrote in Romans 6:5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ is the firstfruits of all of those who have died and fallen asleep in Jesus. That means the bodies of Delilah and Lori and Pastor Mike and Prof. Gergo will follow Christ's resurrection. On the last great day of judgment, their bodies will be resurrected, as well as ours if we die before Christ comes again. And they and ours is not a hopeless end, but an endless hope. This is the third Sunday of Easter. We're still in the Easter season. And this year, according to the church calendar, Easter continues until June 1st. But in reality, the whole New Testament era is the Easter season. It began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. It'll end with the resurrection of all those who have been redeemed. In between those two events, here in time, lies the spiritual resurrection of all those who are dead in sins, who will be spiritually resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit working in their hearts, faith in Christ, to bring them spiritually alive. So we're really living between two Easters. The first Easter, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus rose from the dead, the first fruits, and the last Easter of the resurrection of all the dead. In the power of that first Easter resurrection, we gladly and confidently face whatever trials, whatever troubles, whatever tribulations, whatever sufferings, whatever sadness, whatever sorrows may come our way, as we look forward to that final resurrection, our Easter. So what difference does it make in your life that Christ rose from the dead? Without Christ's resurrection, we face a hopeless end. With Christ's resurrection, we have an endless hope. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.